And man, it's a Christmas gift to me to get to share the Lord's word with you today. You all look fantastic. And man, good morning. Thank you for your love and your prayers. Thank you for what you mean to our family. And tell you, we just had a Christmas surprise. Philip Radcliffe making his way in, one of our U.S. Marines. Just show your love for all of our armed forces, I tell you. Tell you what, he's looking good. He's looking good. He almost looks as buff as me. I mean, he looks good. It's treating him well. Now, I hope Jennifer does not talk the whole service during the sermon to Philip. She might be tempted to because she loves him. We love you, man, and we're praying for you. Man, and I just so appreciate our pastor and his dear family and the entire team here. And thank you all just for your leadership and just for your just diligence to just walk through the Word of God. And that's really the text, the reason we're in the text we are in today is because you've been studying through the Gospel of Luke, right? In the past few weeks, you've been in Luke chapter 10. So take a Bible, find the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at the last paragraph for a few moments today. And really the theme that this has been given, as the pastor was setting out this series and giving some emphasis and showing us some Christmas connection here to this wonderful Gospel of Luke, he's kind of coined the sermon series, this segment this month, God's Mission Has Christmas. And today's sermon is entitled, The Gift That Cannot Be Taken Away. So I just got to thinking about Christmas gifts. And I just kind of stumbled upon this. It's about the 12 days of Christmas. You've heard of the 12 days of Christmas, right? And this is kind of that odd Sunday right here where we're kind of in between, you know, Christmas Day and New Year's Day. And I think this is a great passage for a Sunday such as this. But think about gifts, all right? With this idea of the gift that cannot be taken away. Because you know how gifts kind of come into season and out of season and all that. But I did a little research, interesting article. PNC Financial Services does a survey or analysis, I guess what you call it, every year on what the gifts of the 12 days of Christmas would actually cost you, all right? And I found this kind of intriguing. For instance, a partridge in a pear tree this Christmas, if you gave that, would cost you $220. Two turtle doves would run you about, it's like someone give a partridge in a pear tree. Anybody give that? This Christmas, it ran you about $220, right? It's about $220. It's a little steep. Two turtle doves, catch this, $375. Three French hens, $181. Four calling birds, $599. Five gold rings, $750. That's down a little bit from last year because gold has gone down a little bit, just in case you're curious. And then six geese a-laying, $390. Now, I'm not sure if ducks would be cheaper, but geese, you know, right there, $390. But that's nothing compared to seven swans a-swimming. Listen to this. $13,125 if you want to give swans at Christmas time. Eight maids a-milking, $58. That's a bargain. Nine ladies dancing, $7,552. 10 lords leaping, $10,000. Man, that's an expensive gift. 11 pipers piping, $2,804. 12 drummers drumming, $3,038 for a grand total. If you want to give the 12 days of Christmas somebody, $39,094. Man, that's a steep Christmas gift, right? But here's the deal. Those aren't the gifts we're talking about today. In Luke chapter 10, we're going to zero in on the gift that cannot be taken away. So let me just ask you, what was your favorite gift this Christmas? Go ahead and tell the person next to you. I know you're dying to tell somebody. Some of you are still depressed because you couldn't bring it to church with you today. What was your favorite gift this Christmas? Go ahead and tell somebody right now. All right? There you go. All right? Now let me ask you another question. What was your favorite gift last Christmas in 2017? What was your favorite gift? That's harder, isn't it? See, it's harder to remember the gifts after much time passes. But in Luke chapter 10, I want you to tune into this passage of Scripture because it's an amazing passage of Scripture because it tells us what the ultimate gift really is. Now, big picture, I want you to get this. You can just jot this down before I read the passage. Big picture, the gift that cannot be taken away is your relationship with the Lord. It's your relationship with the Lord. And then specifically, what you're going to see here is Jesus teaches us that specifically the way you enjoy your relationship with the Lord is for us to realize that we get to spend time with Him listening to His Word. In fact, Jesus in John 17:3 tells us how this is the ultimate gift, our relationship with the Lord. He says, and this is eternal life, that they know you and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Paul said it like this in Philippians 3:8. Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. You see, Jesus tells us himself that if you want to know what the ultimate gift is, that priceless gift, that ultimate gift is your relationship with the Lord God. It is knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's knowing Jesus. It's hearing his word. It's your relationship with the Lord. Because you see, God's word, it doesn't return void. Heavenly blessings, they're not temporary. Toys can break. Smartphones get dumber over time. That's just the way the things of this world work, but not so with your relationship with the Lord. We have a gift in the Lord Jesus Christ that I want us to celebrate today. And I want us to be encouraged to enjoy that gift all year long. In fact, Isaiah 9:6, a verse we often hear at this time of year. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, the message that we've celebrated this past month is that God is with us. He is Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. You see, your relationship with the Lord God through Christ is the gift that can never be taken away. So look with me at Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Listen to God's word. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her. And listen to what he says. He says, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Father, I pray right now that, Lord, you'll help us to understand the one thing. You'll help us to understand the gift that you've given us in yourself. And, Lord, I just pray right now that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart will be pleasing in your sight. Oh, Lord God, you're my rock and redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, listen. One point needs to be kind of made here at the beginning, and this is it. Both Martha and Mary, they know the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And they're glad to welcome him into their home. You know, Jesus rarely spent the night in a home. In fact, it tells us in the Bible in Matthew 8:20, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So this was a treat for Jesus. This was something, that he was enjoying, that he was blessed by, that they had invited him into their home. And that's what they do. Just look at what the text says. The Bible tells us in verse 38, Martha welcomed him into her house. So I want you to know something here in this text today, so it's not confusing for us, that both Martha and Mary are loyal disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's nothing really, that difficult about this passage. In this passage right here, what you have is you have Martha. Martha seems to react one way and Mary the other, and Jesus gives us a comment on it. Sometimes we've debated, well, which sister is right? You know, which way is the way we ought to act? And we kind of boil it down to that. Excuse me a second. That's not the point of this. That's not really what Jesus is trying to point out. He's not trying to make this a Martha versus Mary kind of situation. He wants us to understand, though, that Martha is demonstrating a struggle. And it's a struggle that all of us sometimes have to deal with and that we face. And here it is. It tells us right here in verse 40. Look at what the Bible says. Martha was distracted. Martha was distracted. So I want to just kind of give you three aspects to how you focus on the Lord this coming year. Number one is this, beware of distraction, all right? We got to beware of distraction when focusing our lives on the Lord Jesus. Because right here, what you have happen is she welcomes Jesus into her home. But then, as she's serving him, something begins to happen. The Bible simply says she was distracted. Interestingly enough, this is the only place in the Bible the word distracted is used. Here's something we need to know today. Distraction distraction is dangerous. I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example from the news, from history. It goes back to about this time of year, but the year was 1972. It was December 29th. Eastern Airlines Flight 401 had taken off. And they were making their way from LaGuardia in New York City towards Miami. But the flight crew noticed that there was a light that was showing them that there appeared to be something wrong with the landing gear. And so what the flight crew did is they began to circle the airport and circle Miami as they were trying to figure out what was going on with the landing gear, because they had this warning light that was telling them that the landing gear wasn't working. And so what investigators found out later on is there was nothing wrong with the landing gear, there was just something wrong with that light. And here's what happened, because here's the devastating news. This would go down in history as the second deadliest single air crash in U.S. history. 101 people would die. Because what they would do is that plane would end up crashing into the Everglades, and here's what the investigators determined. That the flight crew became so distracted by that warning light in the cockpit that they failed to notice that they had inadvertently turned off the autopilot. And that plane began to descend and lose altitude until it crashed into the Everglades. And the flight crew, the cockpit crew, was worrying about a light. It was actually, a documentary was done on this plane crash, and they actually entitled it Fatal Distraction. Loved ones, distraction is the problem here. You have to beware of distraction when focusing your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was very aware of this problem, and he's very alert to the importance of focusing on first things first. For instance, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." The Lord God tells us in one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your might." So I want you just to kind of notice the context, because right here you have this emphasis where Jesus goes into this house and he notices how Martha's distracted. And then, of course, you have Mary, what Mary's doing. The Bible tells us that Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet listening to his teaching. But last week, you studied the parable that's given right before this passage, and that was the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, ultimately, Jesus is using that to teach what it means to be a good neighbor, for us to love our neighbors. Well, in this passage, what Jesus is pointing out to us is it's important for us not just to love our neighbor, but for us to never forget that this all has to do with us loving our Lord and us loving the Lord God. So the question is this. Have you welcomed the Lord into your life? And if you've done that, are you enjoying his presence in your life? You see, in the Good Samaritan, a lawyer challenges Jesus. He challenges Jesus about eternal life. Martha doesn't challenge Jesus. Martha welcomes Jesus. So that's not the issue. The issue isn't, did Martha have a relationship with the Lord? The issue for Martha was, Martha on this day appears to be distracted from enjoying the presence of the Lord in her life. You got to beware of distraction. I find it interesting. I don't know if this is what you're going to do next week, Pastor, or not, but the Lord's model prayer is the very next chapter. How the disciples end up asking the Lord, "Teach us how to pray." Loved ones, I want you to know, when it comes to our walk with the Lord, one of the things I probably have found to be the biggest battle has been the battle of distraction. I have to beware of distraction. Let me just give you a few thoughts on the battle of distraction, by the way. Here's one. Don't let personalities, don't let different personalities distract from partnering in the Lord's family. You see, sometimes what we do with this passage is we kind of see it as a Martha versus Mary personality issue. That's not really what we're talking about here, okay? Because what we can do sometimes is we'll say, you know what? I just don't care for that person's personality. I just don't care for how that person is. And so I'm not going to be involved in the church. I'm not going to partner with the church. I'm not going to participate in the church. I'm not going to serve with the church. Listen, it was already a given that Martha and Mary, they're part of the same family. They're sisters. And loved ones, understand this. Listen, if you've welcomed Jesus into your life, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. So don't let different personalities distract you from partnering with the Lord's family. Secondly, don't let various anxieties distract you from being in the Lord's presence. It says right here in the Bible, Jesus points out in verse 41. Look right here, Luke 10, verse 41. The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and you're troubled about many things." There are all kinds of things that had encumbered Martha. She was wrought up. She was worried. She was concerned about this and about that. Understand this. Listen, the Lord doesn't want the anxieties of life to distract us from His presence. And also, don't let other priorities distract you from listening to the Lord's word. I mean, what Martha is doing is actually absolutely was what was expected of her. I mean, she was expected to be Ms. Hospitality on this day. I mean, hospitality was a deeply ingrained cultural value, particularly at this time in history. And so she was doing exactly what everybody in the neighborhood would have thought she should have done. I mean, it was important for her to make sure that they had something to eat, right? I mean, it was important for her to make sure that they had a place to sleep and a place to stay. She was doing that. Those are important priorities, but she seems to miss the fact that in that moment, at that time, she's missing the big priority, and that was just listening to the Lord's word. She's so distracted. It's almost as if she welcomes Jesus in her house, but seems to miss out on the fact that Jesus is actually in her house. You see, Martha, she's so busy, it's like she's not realizing how blessed she is. Jesus has come into her house, and she's so stressed out that the joy has been replaced by frustration and anger. You see, oddly enough, her desire to serve the Lord seems to actually pull her away from time with the Lord. This is an example of kind of the good crowding out the best. Now here's what we got to understand with this distraction and with this text. And when you think about Martha and Mary, is Martha is doing what is expected, but look at what Mary is doing. Mary has chosen to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to His teaching. Just like last week, the Samaritan was the unlikely example of the good neighbor, Mary here is the unexpected example of the worshiper. When folks would have, if they'd have heard about this, or if you'd have been in the house that day and watched what was going on, you wouldn't have been disturbed by Martha. You would have been shocked by Mary. Because Martha was doing what was expected. You see, Mary's kind of the breakout character in this story. You see, Martha's doing what is expected. Mary is doing what is the exception. It was the exception that Mary was actually going to sit and listen to the Lord's word. And here's something I want you to keep in mind. Listen to me. When it comes to focusing your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be the exception. You're going to be the exception. So here's the second aspect I want you to get. You got to beware of distraction, but you got to review your position. You got to review your position when focusing your life on the Lord Jesus. I want you to notice the position Mary takes. She sits at the Lord's feet, and she listens to His teaching. Just zero in on that. Right there, that verse. Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. I want you to take a moment, just look at her position. Review her position. She's sitting. You know what that pictures? Quietness. I live in a noisy world. I actually tell my phone to not disturb me at times. Isn't that crazy? Who would imagine that? We live in the midst of a lot of noise. What she does at this moment is she just gets quiet before the Lord. That's sitting. At the Lord's feet, she's sitting at the Lord's feet. There's quietness, and then there's closeness. She just gets still and close before the Lord, and then there's this. She's listening. That's attention. That's attention. She gives Him her attention. And then she's listening, but what is she listening to? She's listening to his word. She's listening to his teaching. That's submission. You want to see her position? It's a position of quietness. It's a position of closeness. It's a position of attention, and it's a position of submission. That's what she's doing right there. That's how she's focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, why should we sit down and listen to the word of God? That's the specific takeaway. That's what I want to point you to. Jesus says, listen, there's this gift that cannot be taken away. That's your relationship with the Lord. And if you want to enjoy your gift of your relationship with the Lord, there have to be some times when you just sit and you listen to his word. So why should you do that? Why sit down and listen to the word of God? Well, number one, Jesus is the Lord God. In the better Greek manuscripts of the Gospel of Luke, actually Jesus in this paragraph is referred to as the Lord, as the Lord. Understand this, we have a relationship with the Lord God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lord God. Luke is making the point that Jesus is none other than the Lord God, and he had come into Martha and Mary's house. Luke chapter 4, you probably studied that a few months ago as you're walking through the Gospel of Luke. How does Jesus respond to temptation? Jesus responds to temptation with the Word of God over and over and over again. Why sit down and listen to the Word of God? Because we have the Word of God. You have the Word of God right here in your hands. You have more access to the Word of God in this point in history as folks in the United States of America than in any people in the time in any other time of human history, don't they, Pastor Derek? You have such access to the Word of God. You have it. God's given us, quote, everything pertaining to life and godliness in his word. That's 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable. That's why we ought to take it into our lives. 1 Peter 2:2 tells us this. Long, as newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word, long for the pure milk of the word, just as newborn babies long for milk. Why? So that you may grow in respect to your salvation. 1 Peter 2:2. So here's the bottom line. We need to have times where we just sit and listen to the Word of God. So you see, we've got to review our position. We've got to review our position. You see, what those pilots tragically, what happened is because of their distraction, they failed to notice their position and they ended up crashing. But here's the good news about sitting and listening. Just about everybody can do it. A child can do it. A mother can do it. A father can do it. A single person can do it. Married folks can do it. A widow can do it. A teenager can do it. Anyone with a heart for Christ, anyone who's welcomed Christ into his or her life, can sit at his feet. Now, here's the mistake that we make sometimes, though, is we make this, as I was saying, about a Martha versus Mary. And we say, well, Mary is better than Martha. But here's the reality. Our churches, our lives, our world pretty much functions because we have Marthas. And it's disingenuous, I think, for us to act like we don't need Marthas. And here's the other part of it. If we all pull back and look, I will dare say, Pastor Derek, that pretty much all of us are Marthas. Because here's what makes me nervous about preaching this passage today. What makes me nervous is number one is this. Is a person could be, you may be here today and you've never welcomed Jesus into your life. And I want you to know that you've got to do that, okay? The rest of what I've been telling you really isn't that relevant. You see, we couldn't even be having this conversation about Martha and Mary if Martha hadn't invited Jesus into her home, if she hadn't welcomed him into the home. So I just got to ask you right now, dear sir, dear lady, have you welcomed Jesus into your life? Because the Bible tells us that, behold, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Jesus isn't going to like kick your door down and come barging into your life and say, hey, I'm here now. I'm going to clean this mess up. That's not how it works. Jesus is a gentleman God. It's like he stands at the door and he knocks and he's waiting for you to invite him into your life. So I got to ask you a question. Have you welcomed Jesus into your life? That's the first thing that makes me nervous today is I want to make sure that you hear that very clearly. You have to welcome Jesus into your life. And if you don't have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't invited Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, Before you leave today, come talk to one of our pastors. Come the person who invited you, brought you. Don't leave this place. We have folks here. They can share with you about how you can invite Jesus into your life, how you can welcome him into your life. But here's the second thing that makes me nervous about it. Is if we're not careful, we'll make sitting and listening to the Lord, we will make this just another to-do item on our list. And that makes me nervous. It makes me nervous because it's almost as if we're missing it. See, Martha was anxious. She was troubled about many things, and she seems to miss the fact that right here, she's welcomed Jesus into her home. She's welcomed Jesus into her life, but it's as if she's just missing the fact of what Mary's done. Mary has just chosen to take this time to sit and listen to the Lord. Now, many folks actually think there's some speculation that it wasn't like Mary just kind of laid around all day and didn't do anything. Some theologians speculate that really what Mary had done is Mary had already done her part of the serving and then had gone to sit at the feet of the Lord. But Martha was still kind of fussing around a lot. But we know this. Look at what Jesus says to Martha. He says in verse 41, "The Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her.'" Notice what Mary had to do. She made a choice. She had to make a choice. She chose what the Bible says here is the good portion. And here's what it comes down to. You and I, we have to make a decision. I have to make a decision. Am I going to focus my life on the Lord Jesus? Or I'm going to be distracted by trying to do things, even for the Lord, in my own strength? Just notice what Jesus says here, verse 41. He says this. He says, "Martha, Martha." By the way, three times in the Bible, Jesus calls somebody by their name twice. Says their name two times in a row. Here he says, "Martha, Martha." Over in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, when he's telling Peter he's going to deny him, he says, "Simon, Simon." And then over in Acts chapter 9, when he confronts Saul on the road to Damascus, and Saul, who becomes Paul, gets converted. He says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" You see, Jesus here, he says her name twice, I believe, to say, "Martha, Martha." It was almost as if everybody else in the room just disappeared for that moment. And it's like, "Martha, Martha, it's about you and me right now, okay?" Mary's chosen the good portion. She's chosen what's necessary. I'm not going to take that away from her. You're fussing around, you're buzzing around, you're anxious and troubled about so many things. "Martha, Martha, why don't you just sit down and listen to my words?" Here's the reality check. Jesus was going to survive if Martha didn't feed him. But Martha wasn't going to survive if Jesus didn't feed her. So don't make this as much about a Martha versus Mary as it is about Jesus just talking to you and me right now. You see, it comes down to this. I have to make the decision to focus on the Lord. But here's what I have to understand. Understand this. Jesus isn't just another teacher you hear. Jesus isn't just another guest you host. Jesus isn't just another friend you have. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the single most important thing I need to keep in mind is I need to sit and listen to Jesus. And here it is. That's a very humbling thought. It's a humbling thought for me to remember. Jesus doesn't really need me. He wants me. But he doesn't need me. But I need him. And that's why I get nervous when I talk about sitting and listening to the Word, because my nervousness is this, is that we will still try to even listen to the Word and sit in the presence of Jesus in our own strength. And that's why Jesus tells us in John 15:5, listen, you can't do anything without me. You cannot do anything. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, you make your home in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You see, it's kind of like this. Here's what I'm afraid we're going to do today. Here's what makes me nervous, is that we're going to turn the idea of sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to the Word of Jesus, we're going to turn it into a New Year's resolution. When I want us just to enjoy it as the greatest gift you've ever been given. Don't see sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word as just another thing you've now resolved to do. Oh, you're going to need to make a decision. Mary made a choice. Look at your neighbor and say, Mary made a choice. Go ahead and do that right now. Mary made a choice. You got to make a decision. You got to beware of the distraction. You're going to have all kinds of distractions. You got to review your position. Are you sitting at the feet of Jesus? But then you got to make that decision. But understand this. Listen, I'm not talking about making a New Year's resolution. I'm talking about enjoying the gift of the presence of the Lord all year long. So here's practically what I'd suggest. Number one, listen, we just gotta confess our pride. Just go ahead and just confess your pride. Just go ahead and admit the distractions are there. And then here's what I suggest. Listen, just start. Just start having some time when you sit and you listen to the Lord. You can, on your way to work, you can listen to the Lord's words. You can take some time as you start your day, as you close your day. Just take some time to begin reading a portion of the scripture. That's sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word. You see, you're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to choose the one thing over other things. You're going to have to decide that he's going to keep this place in your life. You're going to have to decide that you're going to sit at his feet some. I mean, it can seem easier just to watch television or just troll social media or just kind of watch videos than to wrestle with God's word. But I'm telling you, you have to make a choice. You got to make a decision. Are you going to enjoy the gift? You got to choose the best over the good. The enemy of the best is never the bad. It's always the good. Sitting and listening is essential. Serving is important, but you can't do it in your own strength. And then you're choosing the lasting over the passing. You're investing yourself in the Word of God. So loved ones, I want to encourage us to learn from Martha and Mary today. Let's enjoy the gift that can't be taken away. You want to know, the other place where they're mentioned is in John 11 and John 12. By the way, Martha is still serving. Martha is a server. She's an active type A server, okay? She's doing that. Mary, well, once again, she's kind of there at the feet of Jesus. But notice, if you read John 11 and 12 sometime, Martha's not complaining because she's understanding that serving and sitting, well, they go hand in hand. And interestingly enough, Mary just doesn't sit in John 11 and 12. Mary actually gets up and does something. She actually ends up anointing the feet of Jesus with that oil. What is crazy is this exceptional behavior. Judas says, what a waste. What a waste that you're worshiping Jesus. Loved ones, it's not a waste. Sitting at the feet and listening to the word of Jesus, it's a gift. It's the gift, well, it's the gift that doesn't break. It doesn't have to have a new addition. It's a gift that you and I can enjoy. And I pray that God will give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear this Christmas and this New Year's, that this is the gift that can't be taken away. I want to invite you to stand and bow your heads in prayer. I just want to ask you to give me a moment. Pastors will be down front, ready to pray with you and greet you. Number one is this. If you're here today and you're not sure you've welcomed Jesus into your life, I want to invite you. You can come forward during the song. And we've got loved ones right here. Our brothers, our pastors, they're ready to talk with you. They're ready to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, have you welcomed Jesus in your life as Lord and Savior? And then number two, I want to encourage you, just review your position. You got to be aware of your distraction. That's going to be ongoing, okay? But today, right now, just take a moment and just review your position before the Lord. Consider how you might enjoy the gift of God's presence in your life in this coming year. How you're going to sit. How you're going to listen. How you're going to have time to take in His Word. Like I say, my nervousness is this is going to become a New Year's resolution. So I want to pray right now that God will give us the grace and the strength to not see it as something we resolve, but a gift we enjoy. Father, I pray right now for all my loved ones here, myself included, that Lord, you'll just help us to understand it's a gift to sit and listen to your word. That Lord, we'll realize that if we're going to serve you, we need to have time where we sit and listen to you also. Lord, I pray we won't be distracted by things that keep us from serving or from sitting. Lord, I pray that we'll understand that this is a gift. As Charles Wesley said, faithful to my Lord's commands, I still would choose the better part, to serve with careful Martha's hands and loving Mary's heart. God, help us. Help us to serve with helpful hands. But God, help us to also give you our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.